Good morning. Here at 743 on the Mighty 690, it is time for our Green Setup program brought to you by Green Acres. And we do have guests from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. Joining us in studio, we have Julie Smith, Extension Agent for Family and Resource Management, as well as Entrepreneurship. Also, Crop Agent James Cooper. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you both in here. So, going to be a great day. I mean, weather-wise, it's is like, you know, I'm like, hey, can we just keep it the temperature here? I'd be fine with that. No more ice.
Oh, me too. It is beautiful out.
No more of that stuff. So, we're pleased to have you both on here. Starting out with Julie here on our first segment. And I know Julie's been a little bit since you've been on, so great to have you on here once again. And I know that you talk about a variety of topics when you get to come on here, but I know you wanted to talk a little bit about radon this morning.
Sure. So it's good to be back. Good to see you. January is actually Radon Awareness Month, and we're at the very last day, so I guess I barely made it to talk about it.
You made it. I think, you just made it across the finish line just fine.
But I want to talk a little bit about radon and the risks, and also share a program that we're having right here in Coffeyville next Tuesday, 6 p.m. at Grace Fellowship Church. We're bringing in the experts to talk about radon and the risks to homeowners. And it's a free program, 6:30 p.m. We do ask that you call to register just so you'll let us know how many folks are coming. But there's no charge, and it'll be great to hear from people a lot smarter than me on this topic.
And, you know, that's the thing is, like, we hear about radon and all that sort of thing. I mean, it'll be good to get, you know, some more information for sure. But kind of in a nutshell, I mean, what the heck is, you know, radon?
Right. So it is a colorless, odorless gas. And in Kansas, 1 in 4 homes test high for radon. So it's something that we haven't really always talked a lot about, but it's the second leading cause of lung cancer behind smoking in the United States. So it is a pretty serious risk, and it's super easy to test. A lot of folks just want more information and want to know, how do I find out what my home is? So we can talk a little bit about that.
Well, sure. And, you know, it's kind of weird to think that, yeah, an actual, you know, radioactive gas could be in the soil and in our ground, but especially, you know, for folks who have basements and that sort of thing, this can but even without that, you know, it just depends. So I know that, you know, it can get into a house and be present. So even just that testing, you know,
right.
I'm sure they'll talk about that.
Yep. So a lot of times people think if they don't have a basement, they're safe, because radon will typically seep in through cracks in the basement walls. But it can come in anywhere through your foundation, through the soil, like you said. So the best way to test, it's really easy. It's almost made out of a charcoal pack. We sell those at our local extension offices for $7. You place them on the lowest level of your home. So if you have a basement, or if you don't, just on the first level, follow the instructions, let it sit for, I think it's around 48 hours, and then send it in. So you don't have to do a lot.
Okay, and then you'll be able to get those test results back and all that. Now, if someone did, you know, have a positive test there for radon, what are some of those remediation measures?
That is something that we typically will have the people from the state, the radon department, have recommendations for people that you can call to help with that.
Gotcha. So, yeah, you just kind of take it as it comes on that. But something that people should definitely be aware of.
And Montgomery County is typically one of the lower in the state. I have this map. I know we can't
say
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still, in Kansas, radon tests high pretty much throughout the whole state. So
sure, it's interesting. Kind of looking at that. Yeah, Southeast Kansas has a little bit less, but, you know, there's still plenty of counties within the listening area that are going to be a bit higher for radon. And because, you know, at least from what I remember from my time at K-State, that it has to do with the limestone and what they call karst topography, where it'll kind of get trapped in those pockets. But it's something that I know that those folks at K-State are pretty active on, and you know, as far as education, and then of course dealing with the issue.
Right. There's a whole department. The Kansas Radon Program is housed at K-State. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah,
you're familiar with that. So we're really excited to be able to bring them here to Coffeyville and to share this information at no cost for our stakeholders.
Well, that's going to be really great. So anything else that, you know, you want to share about this upcoming event? and that people should know about.
Along with the one in Coffeyville, we are also hosting one the next day, Wednesday, in Pittsburgh. So if anyone's listening that is closer to Pittsburgh that can go during the day instead of in the evening, it's at 10 a.m. at the Pittsburgh Public Library. So we have a couple of options this year to be able to learn about radon. And then, like I said, anytime throughout the year, you can pick up a test at our local offices. $7 is well worth it to go in, and just the peace of mind to know that your levels are safe and that you're not at a high exposure for something like lung cancer.
Oh, yeah. And then so you get that test, and then when you send it in, is there any additional charge, or is that all included in the
$7? It's all included. Postage. Yeah. And then you'll get a link where you can go online and access your results. So it's super, super easy. Everyone should do it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a, you know, less than a fast food meal anymore, you know?
That's true.
So, yeah, once again, we got coming up here in just a few days, this next Tuesday, 6:30, and that's going to be right here in Coffeyville.
Right. And we would ask that you would call if you are interested in coming, 620-331-2690. Just let us know at the office that you're planning to be at the Coffeyville Radon Program, and that's all we need.
Okay. Over at the Grace Fellowship Church at 2455 Woodland. So
that's correct.
That'll be great. So while we have you here for a minute or two, Julie, you know, since it's been a couple weeks since you've been on last, do you want to tell folks just a little bit about what you do as an extension agent, kind of what kind of resource you are to folks as well?
Sure. So like you said, my title is Family Resource Management and Entrepreneurship. It's kind of a long title, but what that means is my area of focus within family and consumer science is financial management. So I can teach budgeting classes, help people one-on-one maybe with any kind of financial struggles. I work a lot with senior citizens and Medicare. So that's one service that Extension provides that a lot of people don't know about is Medicare education. During open enrollment in the fall, we're super busy, but we can do it all year round. So if someone's getting ready to turn 65 or just has questions throughout the year about Medicare, they can call the Extension office, and we are certified counselors with the Area Agency on Aging. And that's a really fun service for me. I love to be able to work with people and help them with their insurance. One thing I'm doing this year too is I just got certified to be a tax preparer for AARP tax aid. So we're going to be able to provide free tax service for folks, mostly in the Crawford County region this year, but that's something we're hoping to expand into Montgomery County next year too.
Well, that'll be great. We want to stay tuned on that.
So that's the financial side, some of that. But then on the entrepreneurship side, I get to do a lot of community development. And that's what I really like to do. Next week, actually, I'm a member of SEK Inc., which is a regional manufacturing community economic development group. And they're hosting Southeast Kansas Day on the Hill. So next week, I'll be in Topeka, just talking with our legislators and promoting all things Southeast Kansas. I don't think that they forget about us down here, but we love to be able to go up to Topeka and share the good things that are happening. There's a lot of good things happening in Southeast Kansas, and we're thankful for the support of the legislator on that.
Well, you got to tell that story, and you know, it's exciting to see too those folks who are interested in starting businesses, because I mean, a lot of people don't realize the challenge that it is, you know, to actually, and some of the bravery that comes as a part of, you know, starting your own business, because that
right.
can be a lot.
That's true. And we have a lot of resources here with the Small Business Development Center. If there's anyone who's interested in starting a business and has no idea where to start, they can call us. And, you know, I'm not the person that can put all of the pieces together, but we can make the right connections to get them where they need to be with, there's Network Kansas is a big resource here in Southeast Kansas with some money and low interest loans. So, you know, I'm a big fan of entrepreneurship as a tool of economic development here in Southeast Kansas. So every big company that you look at started probably with somebody in a garage and an idea.
Yeah.
And we never know when that next person is going to have that idea and end up with a 300-person factory in Coffeyville. So
I think even Dave Ramsey talks about he started out with a little card table like in a garage or something. So, you know, you never know where it'll go. So.
Right.
So, Julie, if folks have questions for you on the Radon program or any of the topics we talked about today, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can call my office, which is 620-784-5337, or shoot me an email anytime. It's super easy, juliesmith@ksu.edu.
Excellent. I think people can remember that.
I hope so.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate you coming on by this morning.
Yep. Good to see you.
Yeah. And then James, coming up here in our next segment, what are you going to be talking about?
So I'm going to leave that up to you. We can either talk about soil health and what that means, or we can talk about using wood ash, because, you know, this time of year, people end up with a lot of wood ash, using it in your lawn and your gardens and pastures and stuff.
Okay. So. You know, I think I'm going to spin the dice, and I'm going to choose the wood ash this time.
Okay, so that sounds good.
I know you're particular to your soil there, but
yeah.
It's an important topic, too. We'll save that for next time. So we'll do some wood ash next. So, all right, that's coming up here as we continue a Green Side Up program on the mighty 690 KGGF. 30 degrees. We're heading up to a high today of 66 for Coffeeville. Definitely take that. Some areas could see almost 70 degrees. Keep here on the Mighty 690. We got news coming up. Back here on the Mighty 690 as we approach 8:10 on our Green Side Up program brought to you by Green Acres. And we are here with Julie Smith and James Coover. And Julie, I know you have a shout out this morning.
Yeah, I wanted to say good morning to my brother Mike, who's listening on his way back to Tulsa. I got a chance to see him real quick on my way down here, so that was pretty neat. I was thankful to be here this morning and get to do that.
That's great. Well, we're glad to have you here as we continue. And we're going to talk here in this segment. James Coover joins us. And James, I know we're going to talk a little bit about what to do with all this wood ash and all that sort of thing.
We do have a lot of programs coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, let's do the
Should
programs here
first,
to start out. Yes.
There's a lot of them. So first I'd like to mention Will's 4-H pancake feed in Crawford. That will be on February the 4th from 7 to 1. That's always a big thing that Will does every year, the 4-H agent in Crawford. We have the Old Cane Cattle Conference. That'll be on February 9th from 11 to 3 in Coffeeville. We also have the State Lion Crops Conference. That will be in Lamar, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lamar, okay. Missouri. I'll actually be presenting a little bit on that one, So about the alfalfa research I'm doing. We have the Animal Health Night, Wendy's annual Animal Health Night. It's a big thing. Lots of people come to this. That'll be on March the 7th at Independence. And I guess I can also mention that we're going to have kind of a festival of sorts. And so this is the second year we've done this, the Makers Fair and an open house. And so really what this will be, we're going to have all kinds of stuff. Right? It's like 4-H demonstrations, like, you know, there'll be ag demonstrations. There'll be stuff for kids to do and for adults to do. We'll have people there, like, crafting and creating things. This is going to be a really fun festival. And so, you know, pretty much all of us agents are on it. Like, Julie's is helping me do some stuff with it. Like, everybody's working on this one. So this will be on March 16th from 9 to 1, and that'll be at the Southeast Center there in Parsons.
Excellent. Well, lots of great stuff coming up. So looking forward to all of that. So where do you want to start here with your topic?
Yeah, and so, you know, this time of year, people end up with a lot of wood ash because a lot of people actually, they heat their home or their shop or something with wood. I mean, there's a lot of stoves around here. I mean, you see them smoke all the time coming out of
various things. I feel like an increasing number. Like, it's really seems to be kind of trendy. You know, some people are, I've been doing this for, you know, years. But but a lot of people are catching on and saying, hey, you know, this is actually a cost-effective way to heat.
Yeah,
and
it really is.
The technology has really improved, too. It's not the people think, oh, you're heating your house with wood. It's like a potbelly stove or something.
Yeah.
It's a lot more advanced than that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they have, people kind of live out in the country in some small acreage. They, you know, they have some sort of wood stove or something like that, like a boiler out there. But still, a lot of people, you know, they heat their house with their fireplace or something like that. There's lots of options here. So, anyways, it creates a lot of wood ash. And I mean, you know, what do you do with all that stuff? I will say, don't just dump it out in your garden or in your lawn. That's often where it goes, and that is can be an issue because this is all lining material, and so we can kind of talk about that. Burning wood, it'll leave about 3 to 10% of the total weight of the wood left behind in ash, so it can end up being a lot. I mean, 10%, I mean, a fair amount. And so, you know, the hotter the fire, the more air there is, there's going to be less ash. It's going to be much more concentrated material. Basically, what that's saying is there's a large variation when it comes to ash material, because it depends on not so much the species it was, the wood species, but how it was burned. And so it really should be more of a liming material more than a fertilizer, because it doesn't have a whole lot of fertilizer to it. It's 30% calcium, you know, but it's got a lot of other elements, you know, 3% potassium, 1% phosphorus. It's got some magnesium, aluminum, and everything else that trees are. It leaves all that except for the nitrogen. The nitrogen part gets gassed off, so it's got none of that. The vast majority of it's calcium, and it's actually in calcium carbonate, which is the same thing as ag lime. And so, you know, how can we use this for liming our soil? We can use it almost the same as ag lime, but with a reduced amount, because it's not pure, and it's not as, you know, functional in that way. It's very fine, and so it's 100% active, but it's just not 100%. So, ash, it can range from 10% all the way to 90% effective calcium carbonate, and that's effectiveness at reducing acidity in the soil. So, really, you want to go with about 50%, just a general rule, because you don't test it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could test it, but is it really worth it? No, it's not. And so, just use a 50% rule. And that high variation is because of what it was. It's just one of those things is, you don't want to overdo it with ash, usually because we don't know what that effective calcium carbonate is. You don't want to, like, lime something with the full rate. And so you have to give it a somewhat buffer. So how do you know if your soil needs that ash? Well, I mean, you got a soil test, right? That's what we always say here.
Yep. if you haven't learned anything from the program yet, it's that you need to do a soil test.
Yes. It's always the beginning piece of pretty much any recommendation. So, you know, after that soil test, like any soil, in my personal opinion, any soil below 6.3 is going to be a candidate for wood ash. And so if your garden is below 6.3, most gardens aren't, by the way. Most gardens have plenty of organic matter that's been doing the opposite. But there are plenty of yards around here that probably could use some wood ash, and there's some flower beds and some other stuff. And so really, liming soils above 7.0, basically when you're starting to get into 7.5, 8.0, you have gone too far in the wrong direction. And that's when you start to complex some of the metals and make the soil worse. That's why you don't want to just willy-nilly just apply this stuff everywhere, because it is not hard to get it so far in the other direction that you've messed up. And it is way harder to make pH go down than it is to go up. So liming soils, you know, let's say you tested your garden. You have a pH of 5.8. And so it has a buffer of 6.7. That's a pretty common natural background acidity in this area. And so the pH tells you if you need lime. The buffer is how strong that resistance is to changing it. Our heavy clays, which means that we have a very strong resistance to pH change. And so you'll need about 150 pounds of dry ash per 1,000 square feet. And that's for a garden situation where you're going to till it in. If you're putting it on top of a lawn, you're going to need 1/3 of that. And so 50 pounds per 1,000 square feet. So, you know, it actually goes quite a long way, really. I mean, in one season, you could probably get enough wood ash to lime most of your yard for the most part.
Sure.
And that's for 1 year. I mean, that ash is going to be effective for a long time.
And this is one of those situations where can you dump it in a spreader and just kind of do it that way? What's the best way to actually, you know,
you can,
get it out?
Yeah. And so because you're wanting to get a rate of around 50 pounds for 1,000 square feet for your yard, or, you know, three times that for your garden, just whatever it is that does that. And you can get like a scoop and just spread it out there, throw it, you know, get a little bit of wind, it'll just go everywhere, right? And so, you know, as long as you're somewhat getting in that area, as long as you're not getting any great big clumps, because, I mean, wherever that clump is going to mess up that soil in that spot. You can burn, well, it's not really technically burn, but you can basically kill your grass if you have way too rich of a spot. And so, I mean, you know, it's an incredibly alkaline material, and so those OHs or whatever they are can basically destroy the grass, really. So, you know, it's best to apply less than you might need. So let's say you have a garden, like I mentioned before, 5.8 pH. Maybe you only want to go with 100 pounds per 1,000 square feet, just because you don't know just how strong your ash might be. And just remember that ash, if you're not stirring it in, you're only affecting the top 2 inches of the soil. So, for instance, you want to take a soil test that's only, you know, the top portion of the soil, and you're only applying lime or ash to affect those top couple of inches. And so that's the same thing with flower beds around your house or anything like that. So a little bit of ash goes a long way. You might end up getting enough to, I don't know, lime your neighbor's yard too, or whatever it is. Spread it around, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But
yeah, you're not ever really probably going to get enough to, or really want to, perhaps do this on like a field, if you will, for like production agriculture.
Yeah, it would take way too much ash. I have had that question though. You know, I've had situations. There was even one where a hay barn burnt down. There was a lot of ash.
Oh, my.
Right? And so they were wondering, like, how much they need to spread. And so we kind of talked about that. That actually might be a situation where you should test it. But there's other situations where, you know, some, like, lumber mills will burn their wood and create a lot of ash. And so they need to do something with that stuff. There are situations where people create a lot of ash, even, like, coal power plants. I mean, they have a lot of ash and other things. And so it is a possibility that we use it in production ag, but not very common around here.
Sure.
And so that's what I do with my wood ash, is I put it in a manure spreader and wait till a windy day and I just throw it over the pasture. So, you know, it's probably not very rate dependent there, but even still. So ash does have some nutrients in it too. It's mostly potassium. And so that's the biggest part to it. It has some phosphorus and pretty much every single micronutrient. It's not a fertilizer, but it will help in that situation a little bit with the nutrient side. And so 100 pounds of ash means 4 pounds of potassium, you know, 2 pounds of phosphorus. And so that's around a logical amount for a garden. So you are adding a little bit of potassium and phosphorus, probably as much as a garden would need, really. And so, you know, the zinc, boron, all the others, you are getting some of that stuff too. And it's fairly well balanced because it's from a natural material. It's already balanced by nature. And so it's not that strong, but you'll need enough of it that it will almost act as a fertilizer. And so ash contains, you know, it does contain some heavy metals. Like, because that's what trees absorb, heavy metals and stuff like that. But it's not so much that it's going to be a risk. And so around here, I mean, there are places where we naturally have more and unnaturally have too much lead and some other things. But it's, you know, plants have a natural ability to resist absorbing that stuff in massive quantities. So less of a concern. Research has shown that ash is actually better for plant growth than ag lime, probably because of the fertilizer and the very available nature of it. So when applying ash, some words of caution. It is obviously very alkaline. You need to wear gloves. You need to, you know, don't breathe it in. Wear a mask if you need to, especially if it's windy. It's not toxic corrosive, but it will sure dry out anything that it touches, including your eyes, including your lungs. So keep that in mind. And obviously, as we always say, take a soil test. So,
that's right. Excellent. Well, if people have questions, you know, on this topic, James, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
If you have any questions about spreading ash or really any soil fertility thing, give me a call at the Girard office. The number is 620-724-8233.
Okay, and then back to Julie. I wanted to let you go ahead for the listeners just joining us. You want to mention once again this radon the seminar that's coming up that people can know more about.
Yep, we have a free radon program next Tuesday, February 6th, 6:30 p.m. right here in Coffeyville at Grace Fellowship Church. It's free to attend.
Excellent. Well, and again, I said you do want to call just if people are interested in attending.
Yep. If you're interested in coming, just let us know so we have an idea of a number. But it's absolutely free.
Excellent. Well, good stuff. And Julie, if people have questions for you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can call my any of our extension offices. Or my email is juliesmith@ksu.edu.
Excellent. Wonderful stuff. Well, Julie, James, it's great to have you on here. And enjoy the weather this week. It's
going to be great. You too. Yeah, so, yep. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. All righty. That is our Green Setup program here on the Mighty 690, folks, from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. And we do have Open Line coming up here in just a few minutes on the Mighty 690. Check the weather right now.